Well, following along in the lectionary, we come to a long passage this morning. The lectionary divides it into two different passages, 1 through 10, and then the second half of the passage. But I really think they go together. And so we're not going to go really, really, really deep into both passages because we don't have the time for that, unless you want to stay for a while. But we're going to look at the whole passage in Matthew chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 15. Jesus, as we have been going the last couple of weeks, we've seen him walk on water. We've seen him feed 5,000. We have listened to his teaching. And he has been revealing himself more and more to the people that to come in contact with him. They see his miracles. They eat the food that he provides. He's revealing himself to his disciples more and more. And so all of these things have been taking place, and as a result of that, he has been, let's just say building some enemies as well. And we find that as we get to Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem. Now, the thing we need to realize is that they are now, the Pharisees and these scribes, these teachers of the law, they are now in Gentile territory. They have left Jerusalem and are now in Gentile territory. Matter of fact, this whole passage we're going to look at from start to finish, Jesus crosses lots of boundaries. He crosses boundaries geographically, ethically, gender-wise, theological-wise. All of these things are in play as we come across these two sets of passages that we're going to deal with today in Matthew. So these people are coming to Jesus outside of Jerusalem, outside in, where they normally have authority, and they come and follow Jesus into this Gentile territory. And they ask, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Now, if you have your Bibles, underline that. Because notice it doesn't say the law of the Old Testament, or it doesn't say the Levitical code, or it doesn't say Deuteronomy or Leviticus or Number. It doesn't say any of that. It says the tradition of the elders. In other words, this is something that has happened over time. They don't wash their hands before they eat. Now, if you go back into Deuteronomy and you go back into Leviticus and you look back at the cleanliness laws were first and foremost for the priests. They were not for everybody. Matter of fact, ceremonial washing everybody was required to wash their hands before they broke bread, before they ate. That was what everybody was required. But all of this ceremonial washing was not something that was necessarily for everybody. It was just for the priests. And what had happened over time, the traditions of the elders, is that these traditions set up for the priests, these cleanliness codes, have now been forced upon the people. And what has happened is that the traditions have taken over. The traditions now are the gateway into the church. The traditions now are what's important. The traditions are what get you to God. And so they're asking, why do your disciples ignore these traditions? Why do they break these traditions of the elders? Why don't they wash their hands? And of course, Jesus, in typical rabbinical fashion, answers a question with a question. Which is always a good way to argument, wouldn't you agree? See? And why do you, Jesus replied, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your traditions? You see, brothers and sisters, the traditions of the elders had become more important in the church than the actual rule of God. And as we extrapolate that forward, or if we bring that forward, if that's the right word, if we look at that passage, if we're honest with ourselves, we would have to say, would we not, that there are probably some traditions in the church today that are traditions of the elders, traditions because of history, not necessarily traditions because of spiritual gain. Traditions. We dress up for church. We wear nice clothes. We are quiet and reverent in church. We can't have fun. We can't laugh out loud. When we had kids in here and they made noise, what did we do? Shh. No fun allowed in here. And we have these traditions that have built up in the church. I'll give you a couple of them, and I know you've heard them from the pulpit before. We sing 17th century hymns on an 18th century instrument sitting in 16th century furniture, and we wonder why we're not relevant to the culture today. Because we have these traditions. For those of you who know the musical Fiddler on the Roof, what keeps the fiddler on the roof? Tradition! What keeps people from coming to church? Same answer. Because you see, now that we're in, we raise the bar for those behind us through traditions. We make it harder for them to get into church rather than easier for them to get into church. And so Jesus challenges these Pharisees and these lawyers. Why don't your disciples wash their hands? And he says, well, why do you give up the commandments of God for your traditions? You've replaced the commandments with the traditions. And then he goes on to give an example of that. For God said, verse 4, for God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever you help you might otherwise have received from me, it is a gift of God, he is not to honor his father with it. What that means, there's a tradition that if you had a gift, and let's say you have parents, and this is true for some of you, you have parents who need help, need care, cannot no longer take care of themselves. Rather than spend that money or that time or that care helping your parents, what they were doing is they would call korban. And that means that this money that you should be using to take care of your parents in Jesus' day, they were saying is now dedicated to God. And so they wouldn't use it to assist their parents. And so what would happen is Jesus is calling them on this and saying, you don't honor your father and mother. You would rather use this money to honor God at the expense of your parents. But you say that if a man says to his father and mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me as a gift devoted to God, he's not to honor his father with it. Then you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Imagine when traditions overcome the word of God. When traditions have higher authority than the word of God. Brothers and sisters, a church cannot survive on that. Churches cannot survive when traditions have more authority than the word of God. You hypocrites, he says. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. This and this goes back into Isaiah chapter 29. Those people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Wow, what an indictment of the church. What an indictment of the church today, because we teach the rules of men and we've neglected the rules of God. We teach the opinions of men rather than the actual word of God. We allow society to dictate how Scripture is understood rather than using Scripture to understand society. And we've allowed society to influence the church instead of the church influencing society. All because of the traditions of men having more authority than the Word of God. Jesus called the crowd to him. Now, there's always a crowd around him, as you know, and the Pharisees are part of that crowd. And he calls the crowd around, and he says, listen, understand, what goes into a person's heart or a person's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. Because our thoughts, our words come from our head, our heart, our mind, not food. Now, imagine, brothers and sisters, you might want to sit down for this. Imagine if you're a Pharisee listening to this. He has just wiped out most of the Levitical code about food. because they are sticking to the Levitical code about what you can and cannot eat. And Jesus is saying, look, it has nothing to do with food. Imagine if everything you thought about church was wrong. Well, there's a lot of things we believe about church that is wrong. And we need to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, are there traditions that have outplaced the Word of God? Do we allow things in the church that the Scripture is against? All for the sake of getting along. All for the sake of not hurting anyone's feelings. Are there things we don't teach because we don't want to turn somebody off, make somebody mad, hurt their feelings? And so Jesus calls this crowd around, and in you got to admit, he's just shaking the disciple, or the Pharisees, just shaking them to their core. He's basically set aside most of the dietary laws, saying it's not what you eat that makes you clean or unclean. Then the disciples came to him. I love this. The disciples came and said, do you know the Pharisees were offended by what you said? When, brothers and sisters, did the disciples start caring what the Pharisees thought? When do we as Christians, brothers and sisters, standing on the Word of God, give a flying fig what the world thinks of us? We stand on the Word of God, we preach the Word of God, we believe the Word of God, and we can't do anything about what the society says who we are and what we are. We either stand on the Word of God and know that what the Word teaches will be offensive to those who don't know God. The Word of God is offensive to those who do not know God. It attacks them, it challenges them, it frustrates them. It is offensive to them. Why would we expect the church, brothers and sisters, if the church is being persecuted, it's doing its job. How's that for good news today? If the church is doing its job, it will be offensive to the people around it. And Jesus calls these people around, and he says that it's not what you eat, it's what comes out of you that makes you clean or unclean. Oh, Jesus, you can't talk like that. The Pharisees were offended. Somehow a social justice worker pops into your mind. What's the old saying? I didn't believe in global warming till all the snowflakes started to melt. I thought that was a pretty good line. The Pharisees were offended when they heard this. Jesus says, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. You see, brothers and sisters, these spiritual leaders, these blind guides are a symbol of that which is lost. Who are you following today? Who's your spiritual leader? Who's your spiritual guide? Who's your authority? Who are you following? And have you made sure they're not a blind guide? Well, if the Scripture is our authority, if the Scripture is our guide, and Jesus is our shepherd, we can be pretty sure that we are not following a blind guide. Amen? Amen. Explain this parable to us, Peter says. Are you still so dull? Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and out of the body, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart? And these make a person unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what makes a person unclean. But eating with unwashed hands doesn't make someone unclean. It's our thoughts, it's our attitudes, it's our words, it's our how we treat one another. Because those things come from the heart, they come from the inside. And that's what makes a person clean or unclean. And then you have this little section here. And the lectionary divides it. But I think it ties very much into the next part. Because the next part symbolizes what Jesus just said to the disciples. Are you still so dull? Because look what happens next. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly with demon possession." Jesus ignored her, did not answer her. So the disciples came and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. Send her away because she's irritating. Send her away because she's bothering us. Send her away because she's a woman. Send her away because she's a Gentile. Get her out of here so we don't have to deal with her." Are you still so dull? It's what comes out of a person that makes them clean or unclean. Remember, I told you at the very beginning that this is a challenge geographically, theologically, gender. All of this comes into play. Jesus has just told them it's not what goes into the body, but what comes out of the body makes a person unclean. And what do they say about this woman? "You know what? She's a pest. Could you get rid of her, please? Send her on her way." Unless we're too hard on the disciples, what's our attitude when we see the person at the stop sign or at the stoplight holding the sign, and we just pray, "Lord, let me make it through the light, so you don't have to sit there first in line with the person next to you holding the sign. Lord, let me make it through the light." And then we play that silly game of no eye contact. It's not what goes into a person that makes them unclean, brothers and sisters. It's what comes out. And we see these people in need, and we say, "You know what? If I ignore them, they'll go away. If I ignore them, they're really not there. What a pest. They're on every corner. I can't do everything." And so we do nothing, because they are a hindrance to us. Jesus did not answer. Disciples said, "Send her away." Jesus said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Now, that's an interesting statement, because he doesn't say, "I was sent first to the lost sheep of Israel." He said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel," which is interesting because he's no longer in Jewish territory. So I believe he's saying this to the woman. The woman has come to him. The woman has said, "Lord, Son of David." She recognizes his authority, at least on some level. And she comes and makes a request. And so he decides, I think, and this is where you get lost with just reading words on a page. I think Jesus now has turned and is facing the woman. And I think he's got one of a little smile on his face. And he looks at the woman dead in the eyes and he says, "You know, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel." And the woman came when he said that. And look what, she first approaches him and calls him Lord, Son of David. Now she comes and kneels. She now comes and humbles herself even more. She was out of line, first of all, to even approach a rabbi and to talk to him. Socially unacceptable. Now she comes and kneels before him. "Lord, help me." Now, if I'm not mistaken, that's pretty close to the same prayer Peter cried just a week or two ago, yes? When he's walking on the water and saw the waves. Pretty much the same prayer. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. It's not right to do that. Now, in Jesus' day, it was common to call Gentiles dogs. It was a word of derision. But we lose something in the Greek here, because there are two words for dogs in the Greek. And the first word talks about the junkyard dogs, the wild dogs. The word in Greek used here is kind of the pet, the family dog. And so there's a sense of endearment to it, a relationship with the family dog type thing. So Jesus is not necessarily being condescending. He's just saying, you don't take good food that you'd give to your kids and give it to the dogs. You don't do that. And just like you and I, we don't feed our dogs from the table, right? We would never do that. We'd never take good food and give it to our dogs, right? It's not right. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord. And see, this is where I believe it, the whole thing turns. I think he's got a little smirk on his face, a little smile on his face, a little twinkle in his eye, and she gets it. She gets it now, what he's saying to her. In the same way she responds, I think, with the same smile and the same twinkle in her eye. Yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You might be coming to the children of Israel first. That might be where your message is, but you're in Gentile country now, and we've now heard the message too. We've gotten the crumbs. We've gotten the leftovers. We're on the fringe. The disciples have eaten. 5,000 plus women and children have eaten from your miraculous hand, and now we get the crumbs. Now you're here, and we're getting the crumbs. Yes, Lord, we're not the children of Israel. Yes, Lord, I'm not one of the children, but I am entitled to the crumbs. I do get the crumbs. And Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Just like the centurion, the three people that Jesus offers the greatest compliment to are not Jewish people. They all three are Gentile. At the centurion, and now you have the woman. Woman, you have great faith. Request is granted. Great faith, because her faith is in the one she asked. Her daughter is not healed because of her faith. Her daughter is healed because of the one she has faith in. Brothers and sisters, when we pray and ask God to heal, it's not amount of faith we have. We're told all we need is grain of a mustard seed size faith, and we can move a mountain. It's not our faith that heals. It's the faith in who we have faith in. And this woman now has shown faith in Jesus. And Jesus says, you know what, lady? You got great faith. And as a result, your daughter is healed. What a wonderful story of trusting. What a wonderful story of realizing that we are to treat all people equally. We're not to be so dull like the Pharisees and think that our traditions keep us from people. We're to be like this woman who broke down barriers to get to Jesus. And we need to ask ourselves, what traditions are we involved in that are keeping people from Jesus? What traditions have we erected to keep Jesus from reaching out and getting to other people? And so the challenge for us, I think, in this two-part passage is extremely applicable. For us to examine ourselves, who do we have trust in? What do we believe? Have we allowed traditions to take over the authority of Scripture? And the only way we know that, brothers and sisters, is to be spending time in Scripture. We have to know what the Scripture says to know whether or not we've allowed a tradition to overturn it. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the challenge of your word today. Thank you, Lord, that we need this mirror held up to us like the disciples or like the Pharisees. That we need to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, as individuals, as followers of yours, and as a church, are there traditions that we have stood on that keep people from coming? Traditions that keep people from Jesus. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be like this woman. Persistent. Knowing where to go to get our prayers answered. And give us the faith to do so. And as we accept tithes and gifts and offerings, it is always our prayer that you bless these monies and use them for the furtherance of your kingdom. For we offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers.